There's an article I read this past week. The title was, "Everything Local Man Feels Led to Do, He Coincidentally Really Likes." It says, I want to read the story to you, because it's going to set up what we're talking about today. It's from Warrawa, Indiana. Don Farmer, 43, reported Tuesday that he was recently led by God towards several things he really likes. And in fact, as a general rule, everything he feels spiritually moved to do, he coincidentally enjoys very much. For instance, last week, Farmer was considering whether he should go to the men's golf outing or volunteer at the city food pantry when he says, miraculously, he knew just what to do. He said, "You could say I really just felt led to lend my support to the church event. It would have been great to be a volunteer over at the food pantry, but I had to say, here I am, send me, Lord, even to the ends of the fairway." Or if you're Mark, the edges of the rough and the water hazards. That was good, right? That wasn't in the article. I added that piece. He says, "Plus, I recently purchased a new driver, which I took as a definite sign from God." Additionally, he felt led to attend the church's Super Bowl party last year, which it just so happened he thororoughly enjoyed. The next Sunday, Farmer was unable to sign up for the church outreach visit to the senior home or the juvenile detention center due to the lack of a nudge from the Holy Spirit. But he did feel moved to participate in the men's group annual chili cook-off. He was able to fend off several invitations by the church's leadership to attend the new discipleship class, sorrowfully noting that not only would the time interfere with his Tuesday TV viewing lineup, but that he just didn't feel as if he was being led to a diligent study of the Word in this season. "It isn't always easy," he said, "listening for that still small voice. It just so happens to send me to do things that I want to do. Would I like to volunteer for the house building project? Sure. But what can I do if the Spirit is leading me to come alongside Frank and fellowship by going to the game instead?" I thought that was funny. Some of you are like, oh man, maybe he's pushing a few buttons. Because maybe that's a little bit how we are in this world. The article is from Babylon Bee, which is kind of like The Onion for Christians. It's really funny. You should take a look at some of the stuff out there. They make fun of some of the stuff that we do in a pretty good way. But I thought it was a good article to get us started this morning to talk about the mindset of serving and the attitude behind serving and why we do it, why we serve. I don't believe that God always calls us to serve in things that are fun. And that might sound interesting coming from me and from a church that has as one of its core values the word fun. We do believe that when we come together and we worship God, even when we serve together, that there's moments and times where it's a lot of fun. It's really fun to do the will of God and the work of God. And we can come forward with encouragement and with joy. But there's also times when serving most of the time means I got to give up something of myself, not for my own enjoyment or that I'll get anything out of it, but simply because God is asking me to. And part of my role in this world is to serve sacrificially and give up to help meet other people's needs so often, when we like to just meet our own needs. It's really comfortable to just fall into a rhythm of meeting our own needs week after week, day after day. I want to talk this morning about contributing versus consuming. Contributing versus consuming. Jesus was largely concerned with contributing. Here he was, a man that came into this world to set a mission and a movement called the church. And so Jesus contributed into the lives of the 12 and many other people to set up his kingdom. Not because he wanted to, not because it was fun. Jesus contributed actually his entire life so that we may have life in him. And so as we talk about contributing, I want you to know that we serve a God who is the biggest contributor we've ever seen. He gave up everything he had for us and calls us to do likewise. I think there's a lot of people in this world that just say, "I'm a pretty good person." And that is simply not true. You're not. We've seen you. You're not a good person. We've heard you. You say things you shouldn't. And if we could get into those brains of yours, ooh, man, that'd be rough. By nature, the Word of God says that we are sinful people. There is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:10 tells us we are self-centered and selfish, myself included. And I don't think that should shock you. If it does, like, just ask yourself, do you ever have to teach a child to be selfish? Right? Never, right? You never ever sit around with a two-year-old and say, okay, son, today is selfish lesson time. So here's a fancy new toy that you're going to love. It's all colorful. It's bright. It's perfect. Or maybe if you're like kids today, just give me the box to play with. Why spend the money on the expensive toy when all they want is the box in the end? But anyway, you hand them this toy and you're going to hand it to them. And when I hand it to you, my little two-year-old, what I want you to do is I'm going to try to take it from you. And when you do that, when I do that, I want you to scream and I want you to throw a fit, possibly even fall on the ground and convulse and do like a tantrum. And I want you to scream at the top of your lungs, mine, because I'm teaching you how to be selfish. You don't need to do that, because kids know how to do that by themselves. And what Jesus is saying is, I have a higher calling for you than just consuming. I want you to be a contributor. I want you to be a contributor. What's interesting, how many of you have ever been to McDonald's? So many liars. More liars in this service than the last one. Wow. Wow. McDonald's is one of those fun things where if you go, you try to hide from everybody for some reason because you feel dirty inside, but you've all been there. And now you're lying about it. So that's cool. Just sinners. Talking about our sinful nature, that you just saw it right there. Anyway, McDonald's back in the day, if you went there, if you enjoyed fast food burgers, you would have remembered two all beef patties from a people that hasn't gone there. Right. Good job, guys. It's good. Right. And when you order the Big Mac from McDonald's, which maybe you've never heard of that, but sounds like you have, you would get exactly that. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a sesame seed bun. Every single time, guaranteed that's what you got. Until something happened about 40 years ago when another restaurant opened up by the name of
Burger King.
How many of you have ever been to Burger King before? Okay, a little bit less dirty going to Burger King, right? Good. 1973, Burger King came up with a slogan that we all know. Have it your way. Because before that, you would go in and you would order a hamburger with two tomatoes, four pickles, lettuce, and onion. And you'd get a hamburger with two tomatoes, four pickles, lettuce, and onion. But Burger King said this, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. And that changed everything, right? You guys are good, you're good, right? Suddenly, when you walk in, you realize you're in control. You're the king. You're the Burger King. You get to tell them what you want. No, I don't want pickles today. It's not a pickle day for me. Or maybe, yeah, throw a few extra pickles on there. I like the flavor that the pickles give. Or I don't want the ketchup. I'd like some mustard. Or maybe it's a mayonnaise. But you've got all these options now, and the customer became king. I heard one speaker talk about how we can become consumeristic, and I was taking down notes of what he says, and he says all these things that companies will promise or promote. He says a company will promote their quality, their value, their style, their service, their selection, convenience, savings, performance, experience, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money back guarantee, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trials, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding, no fuss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden fees, no purchase necessary. No one will call on you, no payments until September. And don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classy, deluxe, custom designer, luxury, prestige, high quality, premium leather, one-of-a-kind pencil holder, yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. Why? Because we care about you. Have it your way. Have it your way. And I think that culture has crept. I know that culture has crept into the church. People having, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about, I got to have it my way. Tragically, that has bled into the church. And I hear it sometimes in the language people say, and I don't necessarily blame or think they're wrong. For many people that say this, maybe aren't quite mature in the faith yet, and so there's grace there. And even some of us who are mature in the faith, by the way, have made mistakes and still make mistakes. But I've heard many people talk to me about how they've been church shopping. Even that language that I'm shopping for a church is off. And I've heard people, man, we've tried, I don't know, countless numbers of churches, and there's so many around, and we just haven't found a place to fit in yet. And the one I hear most is, there's lots of churches around, but we haven't found a church that meets our needs. We haven't found a church that meets our needs. And that mindset is so backwards from what God had intended the church to become. I got to give credit to Craig Groeschel for this next line and several things in this illustration. He's one of the pastors I listen to regularly. If you're taking notes, you should write this down. It's the basic premise of my message today, is we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. Why? Because we understand that the church does not exist for us. But we are the church, and we exist for the world. You say that again, because that's amen worthy. Amen. We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. Why? Because we understand the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. And that mindset changes everything. All of us are called to be the church and to serve. And to be the lights in this world. And I want to tell you two things this morning. Very plain, very simple. I'm going to spend more time on the first. That's what we're mainly here to do today. But I think how we do the first actually impacts the second. So the first thing, very simple. God has called you to serve in the church. In the church. God set up Jesus set up the movement of the church. It is his movement. And it's not because I or this church or anyone needs you, but the church at large exists to bring glory to Jesus Christ and many more to his name. Amen. Right? People always, I've heard pastors say, the local church is the hope of the world. And they're right if the local church is Jesus Christ. If they're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, then they're absolutely right. And that's what we want to be. The challenge with us, again, in our world today, is we don't really understand what the church is. And I've seen this before, like when I went to seminary and when I was in workshops or conferences. And anytime somebody had us draw a picture of a church, everybody draws a building. Everybody draws a building. But let me tell you, God never intended the church to be a building. The church is not a building. The church is his people. It's you and me. Calling this message, it's not about you. We exist for the world. You think this sermon is about you, don't you? Don't you? But it's not about you. And we may use this language innocently that I'm going to church today. And I think, you know, I think people say it's fine as long as we understand that the church is not the building. We are the church and we are here for the world. And just as a little history as to maybe why this change and why we're calling it a building instead of the people is because you may not recognize this, maybe don't know this, but churches before in several centuries after Jesus Christ, they didn't have buildings to meet in. It wasn't legal. They were persecuted. They had to meet in homes and kind of other areas. And it wasn't until 313 AD when Constantine became the emperor of Rome and he legalized Christianity that Christians could even own their own building. And that's when people started calling the church a building, but the church is not a building. The church existed before buildings were legal and land was legal, and the church is the people. The church is the people. And it's a good thing, I believe, that God gives us land and he gives us buildings, because here, I think our role and our purpose is to gather legally, which is cool. We can do that in this country. We can gather legally. We can congregate together. We can empower. We can equip. But it's also that in the end, we would release the church to the community, not the other way around. Every week we come together, not just having fun times and to laugh, though there's nothing wrong with that, but at the end, we want all of us to go out released as a church. And can you imagine what would happen for the community and beyond if everybody in this room took that call seriously? That we are the church. The church is not a building. So we are called to serve in the world, in the church. In the church. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8 help us see that, how God wants to use our gifts in the church. And so here's what Paul says in Romans 12. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you, now Paul's going to list 7 different gifts. There's many more than this, but he's going to list 7 in this circumstance. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. The second gift, if God has given you the gift of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, kindness, 7 gifts that he mentions here. And I believe God has gifted everybody. And a lot of times we don't know, how do we figure out those gifts? And we have a spiritual gift test that is here at the Cross that I think is awesome, that everybody ought to go through it. You can find it on our website or talk to Jacob about how to get a hard copy to do it. We'd love for you to do that, to discover what gifts God has given you, because the Word of God is clear that he gives everyone in the church a gift to be used for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We are all gifted people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got some gifts. But then remind them, it's not about you though. Okay, good. So I'd like to do a spiritual gift test with all of you. We don't have time for that. So I've come up with my own patented version of how to discover your gift that Paul just mentioned. And again, there's 7 here. Maybe there's more. And this illustration is called the Chipotle bowl illustration. How many of you have ever been to Chipotle? Oh yeah, we're proud. Grass fed, organic, whatever it is, right? And here's how it goes. So I go into Chipotle with a group of people, and that's a great group of people. And I go and I order my usual bowl with white and brown rice, pinto beans, tons of veggies, all 3 salsas, sour cream and cheese. And they used to sprinkle a little cilantro on top, but now management says we can't do that anymore because it's a raw material, which I think is stupid. And so they don't do cilantro anymore, but Lake Mary does cilantro, just saying. And I don't understand what's happening there. But anyway, I get my bowl, I check out, and we all sit around the table together. And for whatever reason, you see and you notice that my Chipotle bowl is hanging over the edge of the table. And this is one of those good days at Chipotle where they actually give you a heap of stuff, not the chintzy days. You know what I'm talking about? If you ever want to maximize a Chipotle bowl, by the way, I ask you to go with Jacob Bauman. That man knows how to turn one bowl into 3 meals. And if you ever watched the soup Nazi from Seinfeld, like Jacob's like that on the other side of the counter, totally rude, demanding, but the man gets 3 meals out of $7. I'm serious. And he's even trained his wife, like what to say, how to do it. Let's get the salsa on the side. Oh, can we get that on the side? Oh, yep. Anyway, that's just a side. But so anyway, back to the story. The Chipotle bowl is hanging over the edge. It's full. And for whatever reason, I'm excited. So maybe I go in my fork a little bit too strong, you know, and the bowl falls over and just into my lap, sour cream, salsa, onions, amazing green peppers, all the chicken cooked to perfection, just sitting on my lap. And the question is, what do you do in that case? So if you say, oh my goodness, that's horrible. Like, help, let me help you clean it up. Like, I'll take care of that. You just sit still and you go and you immediately get to work. Then, like Paul was saying, you have the gift of serving. How many of you say, like, that's me, I have the gift of serving? Whoa. Like 4 of you. Okay. All right. We got to do a sermon series on serving. Scratch God math. Okay, this is good. Now I know where we're at. Okay, but if you say, oh man, I can't believe that happened. Here, I want to buy you another one, and let me just buy the whole round around for everybody at the table. Like, you have, how many of you are like that? Okay, you're the ones I actually want to go to Chipotle with. Okay, you're always invited. Always invited. You have the gift of giving, and we'd love to have you at one of our staff meetings that we've almost moved to there. So All right, so some of you would say, some of you, how many of you would say something like this? Hey, don't worry, don't worry. Like, we're going to get it organized in no time at all. You go get this, and you go get this, and come on, we can do this in 30 seconds or less.
Yeah.
Right? You're the administrator, and you're the leader. You're the bossy one. How many of you are bossy? And if people are pointing at you, you should raise your hand. Right? Typically, people are really good at pointing out who the bossy people are. You've got the gift of administration. Someone else is going to go, and this is the life of the party, and they're just going to be laughing. It's so funny. It's amazing. And they've maybe got their bowl, and it's still full, but they're so excited that they put their bowl on the edge, and they dump it over on themselves just to laugh. Just to laugh, because they've got the gift of the encouragement, and the giver's already there anyway, so they're getting another bowl, so that's good. Some of you might say, and this one isn't me, but some of you might say, oh man, I hurt for you right now. That is so hard what you're going through, and like, tell me about your feelings. You've got the gift of kindness, and man, we need more of that on staff here. Some of you would say, you know what? There really is a better way to eat a Chipotle bowl. I've been researching this, and I've got a chart for you with 7 steps. In fact, I've been looking into the Hebrew language, and let me tell you, the actual Hebrew word for Chipotle bowl is hacha shamaka with a little guttural, and I want to teach you how to do it. You've got the gift of teaching, and you need to be leading a learn team in your home. And then lastly, how many of you say, that was stupid. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen anybody do. How many are the jerks in here, right? Okay. You may be jerks, but God may have given you the gift of prophecy to tell it like it is, right? Different gifts for different people. And God, I believe, wants to use all of our gifts to benefit and to help one another. And when we all come together, what's amazing is God takes a lot of messy people, but he gives them a gift. He gives them a calling. And when we put those together, God can do pretty amazing, incredible things. I love our volunteers here. We have so many faithful volunteers that serve week in and week out. We have so many people that genuinely care and love your children and are taking care of them in the nursery. We've got people that are on the audiovisual team that buy into the mission of being able to put a great service together and help experience the love and grace of Jesus. We've got greeters and ushers that both together create a friendly environment, that care about it, that come each and every week. We've got a worship team that loves to pour out their gifts and their talents that we get to enjoy each and every week as we get closer and as we approach the throne room of grace and get to meet our God in a deeper, intimate way than I or many of us can lead into that. We've got people that like coffee, and some of you like coffee. And we've got a team of people that put that together. We've got people that are praying for each and every service that we do here at the Cross and for every person that comes through the doors, that God might touch them in a special, special way. We've got a connection corner that would love to work with those people and meet those people and just get to know them more intimately and deeply so we can further them along in their own faith. We've got volunteers that get ready for the communion when we have that sacrament and when we approach God in that way. And I want to tell you, we've got an amazing volunteer team, and many of them operate and understand this already, that we are here to serve in the church. A lot of them operate with a serve one, come one mentality, where they may be leading something or helping with the kids or greeting people in the first service, and they're all out for that, and they do an amazing job. And it's not about them for the first service, but they'll come at the second or vice versa, and that's when they come and they worship, and we need many more people like that. It doesn't seem like it takes a lot, but every Sunday it takes about 75 to 100 volunteers per service to get what we have here, and they do an incredible job. And I wish I could mention them each by name, but I don't have the time. I will mention one today that comes each and every Sunday and brings the word of God every time, twice in the morning, 7:30 and 9 o'clock, Ralph and Nutter and his wife, Judy, 50th anniversary today. Big 5-0 anniversary. There's some cake in the back if you haven't had it already, but I love the passion of which Ralph teaches. He's using his gift. He's the one at Chipotle that's got the seven steps in the Hebrew. Okay? Why are these people so different and so fired up, unlike so many others in the church? They have the proper understanding of what the church is. That the church does not exist for us, but we are the church and we exist for the world. So God, number one, calls us to serve in the church. And number two, and this is a shorter point today, but I believe that as God's calling us to serve in the church, our witness is even greater. For the second point is God calls us to serve as his church. That we are his representation in this world. And I believe when we get it right in here and when we're doing things together and using our gifts and talents appropriately and the way God has gifted each one of us, I believe that our witness out there is even greater. And so if we want a stronger witness and a stronger representation of who God is, it starts in here and it goes out there. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, I shared these verses with a group of people that was representing God extremely well on Thursday at Habitat for Humanity as they raised the walls up for a new family. And I got to share the devotion with them this morning that I'm sharing with you is that Matthew 5, 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Your light shines into the darkness. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. I love this verse 16. In the same way, this is to all those that Jesus has called, to all those that follow him. He says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and not glorify you and not glorify me, but they may see your good deeds and glorify God the Father in heaven. And that's what it's all about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's that God would be glorified. And how amazing God has chosen to work with each and every one of us to bring him glory. I wouldn't have chosen it that way because I know how some of you work and operate. But God does. Amen? And that's a good thing. How many of you like corn on the cob? It's a lot of food in here today, right? Theme. I heard this illustration many years ago, and I love it, kind of talking about in the beginning when it says you are the salt of the earth, and I don't even know what that means at the beginning. Like, what does that really mean to be the salt of the earth? I've tried corn on the cob plain, and it's not that great. Have you tried it that way? But then when you lather it up with butter, oh yeah, it's a lot better, but it's still not great. You know what makes it great?
Salt.
A lot of salt. Douse that salt on there. That's when it's so good. When the salt and the butter just touch it perfectly and it touches the lips. How many of you are hungry right now? You going to go to McDonald's, Burger King, Chipotle, or grill out today, huh? Which one? All of it. All of the above, right? But what's cool is the salt is on there and it makes a difference. But at the end, you don't say, man, that salt was good. You say, wow, that corn was good. And in the same way, when people look at us doing the things that we're doing as his church, people don't look at me and you and say, man, that person's really good. They say the God that that person serves is really good. Amen. Salt serves what it's on, and we serve him. And he calls us the light of the world. And it's really awesome to come together as lights. I think we're all bright lights in this place. And the brighter we can get in one place, the cooler that is. And that's really great. But what he really calls us to do is to come and be bright together, but then take that light out into the world and to shine into darkness, because that's where they really need the light. We could add a few more bright lights and that's going to be even greater. But if we're not taking the light into the darkness, then what does it even mean? We can actually do things that others might look and glorify God. Now make no mistake, we are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by our good works, but we are saved for good works. And those good works glorify the God that created us, that made us, the God that's here today. Ask yourself, how many times in the past 7 days, if someone were to look into your life, would they glorify God? Would they know? Parts of the week they would for me, parts of the week they wouldn't. How about you? You are the light of the world. And when we are the light, when we are the salt, God gets all the glory. And I love this church because we've been putting light into darkness by starting nonprofits like Lake Cares and Powerhouse, and by a group going out and serving at Habitat, and all of our love teams that serve in the community. You guys do incredible work. But what I believe is that as we serve in the church together, we're going to serve as the church even greater. We're going to serve as the church even greater. You see, in my mind, I still have a vision for a church that is greater than what I see today. I have a vision for a church that loves other people more than we've even been loved ourselves. I have a vision for a church that is full of faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers that are willing to give up a safe, comfortable, consumeristic life and serve God when we don't know what's coming next, but I guarantee you it's going to be far greater. I have a vision for a church that is filled with overly generous people. When the rest of the world is consuming, we're just being generous, and not just with our money, but with our time and our service, that we are generous in all that we do. I've got a vision for a church that is gospel-centered in everything that we do, that it's always, always pointing to Jesus Christ. I've got a vision for a church that is recklessly gracious, that if we're going to err on any side, it's going to be the side of grace, that because we're all sinners, and without grace, where would we be? And I'd rather err on that side. I have a vision for a church where every single person sees themselves as valuable in the body of Christ, because you have gifts and you've been called, and no one just comes and consumes and consumes and consumes time after time, but rather we become spiritual contributors because we are that church that Jesus Christ is talking about in the Word of God. And we've got those gifts and we've been called, and I cannot and you cannot, after all that God has done for you, keep what's inside. You got to let that out, and you got to let the world see that light. How in the world can you keep that in those bones and those lungs when God is just telling you you can't keep your mouth shut because of how good our God is? Amen. How amazing He is and what He's done for you and for me. I've got a vision for a church where we collectively use our gifts together, and where God makes a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, because we're messy, but He's beautiful. And He brings that each and every time we gather. I've got a vision for our church that if, God willing or God forbid, something were to happen to our church, the community would notice and it would sadden them. Not even that because, you know, they love Jesus, because look at all the stuff they did for us. Look at how they cared for our community. But it's going to take a church understanding that it's not about you. It's about the world. It's about reaching others. It's about taking what God has done for you and going and being the lights in this world. This morning, we do a Link Sunday every year. And the word link is intentional, to connect people back to God through the Sunday morning worship experience. These are our Link Sunday teams. And if you came in, you probably noticed a link card on your seat. If you would grab that right now, there's 9 different things on there. It was an oversight, but prayer team should also be on there. And we have many faithful volunteers. And what I want to ask you to do, as God calls us to serve in the church, and as we serve in the church, our witness is even better as the church. What I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to think through and to pray and see about where you might want to fit in, where you might want to serve. Because this doesn't happen with just one or two people. It happens with dozens and even hundreds of people. And as we grow, we're going to need more and more and more. And maybe you're already serving, and so you're going to take that card. You're just going to kind of reaffirm, here's the areas in which I want to serve. Maybe you're new and you feel like, you know what, this message hit me. I've been consuming for far too long. It's time for me to get in the boat and get going and use my gifts and talents for the glory of God. And I want to do that with this great group of people at the cross. Then I want you to take that, and I want you to check those boxes. And our link captains will be getting in touch with you this week about how you can serve and in specific ways in that ministry that you've checked. We need a lot of help, and it's not for me, and it's not for the church. It's for the sake of those that don't know Jesus. We are spiritual contributors. We are not spiritual consumers. Why? Because we know that the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Will you stand with me? God, thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. God, I pray that you would move many in this church right now. to serve in this community. And God, if this isn't their church and they're just here checking it out or visiting, God, I pray that they would go back into their church and ask their leadership or pastor, how can I serve? How can I help? How can I use my gifts to benefit the kingdom of God? Because it's not just about our church, it's about the church. And we are the church, and we are that church that you've called us to be, God. And so I do pray that each one in here, Lord, would be convicted and would feel, Lord, like you're calling them to serve in a certain way to help people experience and encounter you on a Sunday morning here at the cross. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Lord, how can we not want to serve after all that you've done for us? Lord, move in each one of us. And as we serve in the church, God, I pray that our witness and our representation of you as the church would be even stronger, would be even greater, Lord, so that many more may come to know the love and the grace of which you called us, of which we claim to be ours yet again this morning. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in your name. And together we say, amen. Amen. If you will take that card and you will fill it out as we sing a reprise of Good, Good Father, if you just bring it up and you'd lay it on the altar, lay it on the altar as we're singing. We'll be getting in touch with you this week. Also, just a quick side note, we have so many great volunteers here that serve faithfully week in and week out. If there's a volunteer that you feel is super special, has made a difference in your life or your kids' lives, would you tell them that this week? Would you get them a gift, a small gift or a large gift maybe even, if you really love them, to show them how incredible they are and what they mean to you? Because I love the volunteers we have, and that's an incredible way to show that you love and you support them. So as we sing, as you feel called to bring your sheets up, please bring them forward. And we want to serve with you, together with you, and we want to serve as the church. Amen? Amen. Let's praise our God.